If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and radiance and love of the one divine creative presence. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is living from the top side down. You know, if you've listened to very many of our seminars, you must have noticed that I invariably use a top side down approach to your spiritual integration. I do that very specifically because as we return our awareness to who we've always been and what we remain eternally and live from that, we can flood all of the fields of the lower levels of consciousness with illumination and walk as a spiritually illumined consciousness in the human vehicle and as we go about our daily life. That is the call today, is to import that divine awareness into the world, into the daily world, without having to separate and seclude ourselves in some monastery or ashram or place apart from humanity. We are sent as living tributaries of grace to enter into the fabric of time and space and causes as proactive light, as proactive divine awareness, not as victims of conditioned states of being, but as the very transformers that bring divine, ever-expanding awareness and revelation and new approaches and new possibilities. And so we come to bridge the dimensions multidimensionally and to bring forward a newness and gift it into the human consciousness. And thus we are new world bringers. And we are bridges of living light from the old ways and methods into that of unlimited potential and radiant possibility that opens as we willingly let go of the things and systems that don't work. They don't work because we're miserable. And when we're miserable, it's everything within you letting you know that is not working. And when you see repetitive patterns again and again presenting and repeating cycles, hello, there's a lesson that's not being embraced here. There is another approach here that could be taken. There's another choice. Why, as human beings, do we go from track A to track B to track A to track B back and forth again and again? And it all looks the same. It looks like conflict. It looks like war. It looks like continual problems that simply change the faces and the outer costumes. But when you peel everything back to its essential, whatever it is, it's the same. So what we will do as we learn to live from the top side down is begin to flood the levels of illusion with reality, with truth, with higher awareness, with fresh and pristine perspectives, and revelations that are actually transformative because they're birthed from truth. And truth itself is the way shower. Truth itself is the entrance of the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit into the illusions that the ego mind has projected upon the beauty of this divine sector of the cosmos. So let's take a deep breath and bring your awareness to where you know, or at least let's say that you pretend and imagine that you know, that you are home in God now. You are a divine spirit that lives and moves and has your being within the divine creative consciousness of the all that is. You are part of it, and it is part of you. God lives in you and operates through you as your unique soul awareness and consciousness. But in highest truth, you have never left the heart of God. Remain you still in original innocence, purity, wholeness, holiness, and peace. And no imaginary departure, such as you have dreamt, has ever, nor could it ever, separate you from that divine nature, that larger divine DNA, in which you are entwined in your individual DNA strands, inextricably woven into all that ever was, all that will ever be, all that could ever be, all that is yet to be, all that is unfolding in divine wonder, revelation, and amazement. And we could have to stand back and with the angels cry, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sivayot, Melo Kol Ha'aretz Kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. That is what we say, for we are constantly amazed at the divine unfoldment of revelation and glory to glory with which everything that is true and real is clothed and ever revealing more perfect facets of its beingness. A brother had a beautiful vision that was given to him. He was taken up and shown the rooms of heaven. And when he went into one room, he saw that it was filled with diamonds. And when he went and picked up one of the diamonds to look at it more closely, he saw that within every diamond was an individual person's face. And as he turned each diamond and looked at it, it revealed the divine characteristics, the spiritual imprinting that God had placed within each unique, beautiful diamond. And you, beloveds, are those diamonds. Your truth is as flawless as, beyond the most precious imaginable diamond. And the many facets that God has placed within your unique soul imprinting reveals aspects of his love, of his wisdom, of his truth that is uniquely yours to present into time and space and into this earth and through your precious human vehicle. However you are, whatever you are, there is no one like you. And however you are and whatever you are, it's part of a unique soul journey that you have embarked upon to reveal part of the Holy Scripture that you are the living embodiment of. You are the living Word. You are the living light. And you have the divine message that only you can give through your life. Oh, you may not think that's very important. you may think that you're just doing a very humdrum, maybe very, let's say, quiet life without too much razzle-dazzle. Oh, but do you know who you truly are? I think not. For you exist throughout the quantum universe, and every single atom of existence, your precious essence shines forth. Every part of you is intrinsically woven and interwoven into that great, 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 great collective Merkaba, that vehicle of light that is God's specific statement into this particular period and cycle, this Manvantara, this Yuga, this age. And so, whatever you are, however you are, you show up like the tiniest little infinitesimal speck of the divine glory that you truly are and that you're capable of. Moreover, the human being itself, as a life wave of consciousness presentation, has been fitted with new extensions of every sense organ and facility that we have. Every subtle body of light has gone into a quantum extension. Everything that we've ever been up until now in time and space has been maximized to the next level. So that for every single one of us, there is a newness that we have yet to even begin to explore. But, beloveds, it requires our letting go. Letting go of the same old, same old, the same old approaches. If it hasn't worked for you yet, it's probably not going to work for you ever at all. So be willing to let go of the things that are not serving your highest advancement. It is a walk of faith. It is a quantum leap into the unknown. But hey, how else are you going to experience that you're winged, that you have soul flight, that you have the ability to fly, to soar, to transcend? Many people today like to bungee jump. They're afraid, even though they know that they're tethered. At least they hope everything is going to hold steady as they leap. But I think it's also metaphorically an expression of our collective desire now to leap beyond the things that have confined and limited and kept us living small and afraid. We have to learn to live large on a small planet so that planetary consciousness itself, it can expand beyond its former sense of self-definition, beyond its collective defined borderies and boundaries, which we, as the collective consciousness, have circumscribed it into. Do we even know what it's like to ascend this earth into the next dimensional overlay? Can we understand that there is an expansion of subtle bodies that the earth is clothed in, the same as we are? Can we get a sense that everything in nature is alive and sentient and ever-expanding to whatever is next? Can we give ourselves a sense of the fact that enlightenment and consciousness and divine awareness is continually expanding? Can we learn to live in an awareness that is so innocent that we can allow intimate and absolute glory into this moment? Can we make love with God so totally that we're living in constant orgasmic bliss? That orgasm that we have in the physical body is the tiniest little infinitesimal taste of divine union with the beloved. Yeah. I've experienced it a few times. And it feels like orgasms. in every single cell of your body. It's non-localized ecstasy of one's own beingness. That is what it is my heart's longing and prayer to convey through these transmissions each week, that we can begin to live in the ecstasy of unabashed self-giving into all that is, with all that we are, so that we don't live confined, small, demi-lives anymore, but can expand to that highest potential that every single one of us longs to have. But who is denying and depriving? Only our limitation. Only that place where we say inside ourselves, no, no further, I'm afraid. Oh, get over it. Do it scared if you have to. But leap, leap, leap into the arms of the beloved. So all multidimensional states are present and available here and now. Take a deep breath, and as you extend from that wholeness, that fullness of your original spiritual self, see it as a ray of divine awareness, cascading in golden, ringing, singing, glorious effulgence, and touching too, at the same time, all worlds, all dimensional planes, all suns, all moons, all planets, into every single atom and subatomic particle of existence. Take another deep breath. And flood the divine cosmos of your physical, emotional, causal, mental, etheric, and soul, and God levels with this effulgent light. The worlds within worlds that exist in every single holographic fractal of your cells themselves, your cellular memory. Every part of you reflects the macrocosm. Every organ, every secretion of your body, everything is simply replicated in creation. And within the physical world in which you currently dwell, this beloved planet Earth. Because in the field of divine awareness in which we're speaking, everything is part of everyone and everything. The morphogenic field that Dr. Rupert Sheldrake has spoken of affects and reflects each one of us and sounds and resounds with our own individual soundings of consciousness, our own effects that we radiate within the light and sound continuums. These are greatly limited in the human state. The human state is actually a definition of circumscription and limitation. Limited by time, the belief in time. Limited by space, the belief in space. Limited by the sense of distance and seemingly separate bodies. Limited by what one perceives to be the beginning of a birth and the ending at death. All of these things. And the apparent declination of one's vitality in the sense of aging and the ultimate seeming end of the material life in death. Every single one of these are definitions of illusion, definitions in separation. that we could just generically call, quote, human consciousness. But we're not sent into this world to be humans. We're divine spirits sent into this world to take a material form densified into the lowest vibratory spectrum, we call the third density, and to make it a fitting house for God, to make it a fitting tabernacle with which to house the divine spirit. So there is a holy habitation. You are actually living arks of the covenant. You are literally the holy grail. That's not a cup that you go searching for and digging for in Glastonbury and other places. It is not anything that can be humanly defined in limitation or subject to rot and decay. That which houses the Holy Spirit, the Divine Spirit, is your own wholeness, your own truth, your own holiness. Only that is a fit vessel to house the Spirit of the living God. And so look not without in Ethiopia or other places or under Mount Moriah for the Ark of the Covenant. Why is mankind continuing looking for form to prove the existence of God, when it is the very ability to pierce through the illusion of form and look into the very fields of consciousness and energy that are held together by belief and our prerogative to hold steady what we want to examine more fully, the ability to look beyond all of that and see the pristine and perfect energy that will accommodate whatever preference you wish to place upon it. The very atoms will leap to obey the focus of your intention. They have to. You're the Son of the living God. They must obey you. The Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you. All of creation must obey you when you're, even when you're not connected to that consciously. You still have a manifestation into the outer world as your life and what you draw into your life. Do you know that you call the shots? That things are exactly to you what you've decided for them to be. Remember when things were created and the Elohim said to Adam, now you name them, have dominion and stewardship over all these things. And all of the creatures were created before Adam and he named them, which actually means that we ourselves call a thing that is, and as we would have it be, we give the definition, interpretation, the label, the definition, the circumscription of that thing, and then it becomes that for us. But we're moving, beloveds, into a dimension where we are going to begin to experience instantaneous intention manifestation. There won't be the time lapse. So that verily whatever our consciousness comes into affinity with for even an instant will become the manifest reality. That's what happens in the fourth dimension. And we have to pass through that to go into the fifth. So it is a time when we're seeing the collapse of time in a more rapid manifestation of the effects we send forth and what happens as a result of our thoughts, words, intentions, and actions. Some people call it instant karma. Yeah. It's instant karma when you see out of the eyes of limitation and separation and fear. But when you're looking through the eyes of grace, through the eyes of the Beloved, it's instant revelation of the glory of God. It's instant manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. It's instant manifestation of that which transcends all of the laws and exists in the bliss of its own beingness. It has become the Beloved, and thus all things beloved the one who has become the Beloved. So all multidimensional states are present right now, here and now. And space and time play absolutely no role in their availability. You know, essentially these are viewpoints of awareness and beingness. Places where you actually, even as you sit here this evening, or this morning, wherever you are, places where multidimensionally you already have a function that you are involved in at that level. And we could spread that out to many functions, but just for the sake of the ray of light that you extend in consciousness as a soul. Let's just imagine that you have at least one focal point of your essence on each of the different planes of consciousness. You're not aware of them, for the most part. Most of you aren't. Because you have had mainly your focus into your human life. And again, the human state is one of personal, self-imposed interpretations of limitation and circumscribed definition. One of the greatest evidences of a broadened consciousness is their ability to see the one in the many and the many in the one. And to be able to have a non-localized freedom of association in moving in and out of the different states without having to hunker down and identify with any of them. So that you have a freedom in how you present into the quantum field that again is intensely ecstatic. You know, we have that lame word, bliss, in the English language. But Purnanandam is so much more than that. Purnanandam, that which goes beyond any kind of a term of definition, and yet rings and thrills through every atom of your being when you're in conscious integration from a top-side-down awareness of self that can have no separation, no cutoff point. At no point ever are you separated from God or from anything within all of creation. So your personal state of conscious focus is what determines what you access. And this requires your conscious direction of your thoughts, your conscious directions of your emotions. You see, most people that are purely in human consciousness live at random without any sense of personal self-direction or self-awareness or self-discipline. And they're miserable because they're trying to make what is essentially an illusion, a fiction, and a lie, they're trying to make it work. And they're doing that out of a false identity, a false sense of self. So, of course, it's not going to give the feedback of bliss and joy and wholeness and abundance, because nothing that is a lie is supported in the universe. That's why a lie detector works. Do you know that if you do muscle testing on a person that's lying, they go as weak as a dish rag? They just go completely limp because nothing in your being will support a lie. Your body itself will self-destruct if you keep putting negative, false energy through it, and you don't source divine love, which is why you were created in the first place. So nothing supports you in the physical world or the spiritual dimensions that is based on deceit. The saying that my teacher often says is, deceit forfeits divine aid. So we live a deceitful life when we're not true to the truth of our divine state in which we were created in the image and likeness of God. Granted, we're not taught that anymore. And the one book that used to be required reading in all schools, in America at least, the Bible, is now not presented, even as literature. So our young people are growing up with a purely material, atheistic worldview, or at least an agnostic worldview. Better some gnosis than none. And agnostic means no knowledge, no higher awareness. And atheism means no theism, no sense of the divine whatsoever. What are we teaching our children? That they're monkeys, and so if they act like apes and monkeys and gorillas and baboons, can we blame them? We just build bigger prisons to house them, don't we? But we never look at the fundamental flaws in our approach to our identity and who we are and what we're here to be and do and manifest. So, thoughts are attracted to similar thought forms that you place your interpretation and give meaning to them so that you see whatever you have decided you are looking at. Your seeing is what causes it to become visible to you. And it will be to you exactly what you have decided in your inner intention that it is to you, whether a blessing or a curse. So even what you hate and dislike and wish to avoid is magnetically attracted into your life so that you can learn to see beyond your interpretation into the way God sees things through the God vision, the Deva Drishti, the God eyes, the Tuaji, the divine gaze. So you need to train your mind to discern eternal truth from temporary passing states and moods. You need to train your mind to hold the focus of divine truth and to your true divine identity and to make that your daily discipline, that you live from that model of reality. And you need to learn to observe rather than to react and associate and identify with everything that passes through your mind and your emotions. You're to watch the parade, enjoy the show, but don't get caught up in it. Whatever it is, it will pass, it will change, and you will move on, because that's the nature of life. So all thoughts and feelings are shared as a collectively conditioned state by all human beings. That applies to all of the levels. Everything is shared. But when you're sharing from the limited human states of ego identification and differentiation, what is shared is collective illusion, glamour, misidentifications, and collective pictures of illusion. So thoughts flow like a stream. The thought stream is continually flowing like a river. And what is so interesting is that the thoughts that pass through our minds are not our thoughts. They're conditioned, which means they're used. They're secondhand. They're processed information. They're not born of originality or revelation, which would pertain to the thoughts you think with God. But they're the thoughts that pop into your mind at random, and you think, wow, I'm so brilliant. No, probably not. You probably just bumped into a brilliant thought that someone thought a long, long time ago. So when we speak of entering into a new consciousness and a new world, we're saying new here, not regurgitated, reprocessed information that has come out of the collective stupidity, the collective limitation, the collective confines and circumscriptions that we feel safe hunkering down in our lower natures. So that stream of thoughts, begin to question your thoughts. Don't just believe everything that goes through your head. Same thing with your feelings, your emotions. That is what the astral realm is. It's the holding tank for all of your nonsense. And it's collectively created and collectively processed and flows through all emotional feeling states and moods. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's yours. Be detached. Discern. Rise above it in your higher awareness. See through it. Don't just buy into every feeling, every thought, every mood that flows through your biosphere. Now, awareness is different. Awareness is non-localized beingness. And when you're in soul awareness, it doesn't have an up and down orientation so much as it has a sense of divine expansion into ever-widening circles of inclusiveness. You embrace, unfold, encompass more and more into your radiance, your loving, your sense of self with a capital S. That's when you're moving in divine consciousness. So the human ego levels contract, define, exclude, and limit. The divine levels expand into unlimited possibilities. So we're all involved in our own unique journey as individualized consciousness or soul. And each person's journey is pre-elected and self-chosen at a higher level. So no one is a victim of anything that they're undergoing. Everything was elected for a very specific area that that soul wanted to explore, inquire into, and be involved with for some very good reasons. And just as each must eat and explore and journey and discern, each must undertake this journey for themselves and by themselves. As no one can eat and digest for another, so each individual must partake of and assimilate and integrate the levels of conscious awareness for themselves. Nobody can do that for you. People come sometimes to a teacher and they just want that teacher to make it all better, fix them, you know. But every teacher that is self-realized will tell you the same thing. You don't need fixing. You just need to drop all of the crap, all of the stuff that you have misidentified yourself with. Drop it. get naked. You know? Live inside out unabashedly. Live inside out. Get what is inside of you outside of you. I say, let the closeted Christs get out of the closet of human limitation. We need to be conscious of something for us to be able to bring it into manifestation, to be able to bring it forward into our daily life. You have to be aware it's there in order to integrate. You have to know that it's available to integrate and to work with in order to master it. And all of this must be done at a conscious level. We're not here to fall asleep. This life, this human life, is so precious. If you knew what you had to go through to elbow your way into an incarnation in this lifetime, you would prize every single second that you have life and breath in you as a gift beyond the telling. You would never do anything so stupid as to think of committing suicide or wasting your life taking drugs and drinking into an unconscious stupor or into an astral state that's simply an imaginary fantasy, drug-induced. You would prize conscious awareness as your greatest gift. You as a human being are the only creation in all of existence, including the other planetary worlds, according to Sai Baba, that can have conscious choice to return to God. And according to Sai Baba, the planet Earth is the only place that serves as that springboard to the transcendental realms of God. You have to have a human body. You can't phone it in from another planet, a spaceship, or another form of existence. The Master Joel Cole, I remember in the Alice Bailey teachings, said that everything that exists either has been, will be, or presently is in a human form. That means all of the angels, all of the devas, all of the extraterrestrials, all of the great cosmic beings either have been or will be a human being. The human being is the complete synthesis of all of the five elements of nature: earth, wind, fire, water, ether, wedded with the kingdom of souls, wedded with the kingdom of the monads, or the oversouls. And it just keeps going into ever-widening circles of association and affinity and relationship. Never at any time are you ever alone. That's another great, big, huge human illusion. You're never alone. Every single thing that you put forth energetically travels throughout infinity. The Master Maurya, one of the Mahatmas of the Trans-Himalayan Brotherhood, has said that every thought is ineradicable. Good heavens, every thought is ineradicable in the cosmos. And we've had the experiments of Cleve Baxter, I believe his name is, that has proven that everything reacts to everything. Every single movement of your intention causes the seemingly inanimate objects around you to react, either in contraction, an apparent shock, or expansion, an apparent extension. And this brings to mind what Sai Baba said when he said that everything in creation, both animate and seemingly inanimate, is capable of experiencing joy and sorrow. And I told you some seminars back about the story of the weeping saris. Sai Baba had gathered, I was there at the time, had gathered, I think, 100 saris. And of the 100 saris, he chose only 98 of them to give to the various women devotees. But he kept aside several of them on a table. And Dr. John Hislop, who was a Western devotee that was there at the time, pointed out to Swami that the table was dripping water, you know, to move the saris because they might get wet. And Swami said, no, the saris are weeping. They're weeping because they feel that I have rejected them. And then he took the saris and he gave them to Dr. Hislop's wife and the other people that were lucky enough to receive them. So everything in your environment responds to you. It opens up and responds to your love. Oh, and another interesting thing. We spoke about the eggs that were reacting when they were put on a polygraph machine last week. How when an egg was put in, cracked, you know, out of a bunch of eggs that were together in the refrigerator, when the first egg was cracked, there was a reaction in all of the other eggs that looked like they had fainted from shock. And when they tested everything, even raw foods, all foods, whether it's everything, whether it's an animal, a vegetable, a mineral, an insect, whatever it is, reacts to your intention. And when you eat it, whether it's a carrot or a piece of meat or whatever it is, or an egg, it reacts with shock. And the polygraph machine showed that even your digestive acids in your stomach cause a shock reaction and a burning to those things that you're digesting. But the practice of the Native Americans and the Hindus and various indigenous peoples who are more conscious than we in the Western world, when they thank the animal and ask permission to take its life, and they do a prayer of gratitude over that food before they eat it, and they thank it and they bless it, that seems to anesthetize that reaction, so that the whatever it is that would normally react in fear and shock accepts and offers itself then as part of that cycle of life, where everything is sustained by consuming the next level of kingdom in nature, in the chain of life. So these are very, very interesting thoughts, because we need to understand how we are never uncreative. We are always creating. We are always causative, whether you're conscious of it or not. And as you become nearer to the God sense and point of identity, the more you identify with the divinity that you truly are, the greater your power becomes. The greater and more impactful you are. As it's often said, the greater the knowledge, the greater the responsibility. We are here to serve all of life, unconditionally, with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and beings, and to live so transpersonally that we literally transcend the sense of personal neediness, personal lack, personal insufficiency. You learn to transcend and live from the greater self that is always abundant. It's always bestowing. It is always infilling. It is always refilled so that it can extend more. And so we become that which is continually bestowing and extending the grace of God everywhere, to everything, to everyone, at all times. And the world is thus transformed when we see it in its true light. It doesn't need fixing any more than you do. It needs to be seen in the light of its innate, divine, original perfection and wholeness. And thus, as each of us returns to that state of wholeness, we extend the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God becomes manifest. And lo, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. And that Lord dwells within you in the tabernacle of your own human consciousness that has been now awakened, born from above of spiritual awareness, and living topside down, extending from the heart of God, but knowing it could never, except in an illusion, ever experience any form of separation. And so you've become the enlightened one. The Buddha consciousness is that of one who has awakened beyond fear, beyond separation, beyond death, beyond suffering. And the Christ is the one who has awakened as the anointed one, the one who never loses sight of his oneness with the Father. And so, these levels are simply metaphors for the same thing. Some call this level the spirit man. Others, the I am presence. Still others call it the monad, or the oversoul. In Eastern terminology, it's called the Atma. In the movement of spiritual inner awareness with John Roger, it's simply called the soul, or the spiritual inner awareness. The beloved, and that which is. All of these terms, again, are labels that we have contrived in our desire to define something. But you notice how often when we define something, we then dismiss it as if we knew it, as if in the defining of it, we have somehow confined and contained and owned it. But the one thing I noticed as I moved deeper into my own levels of expanding awareness is that the reality is so different from the words. My teacher, John Roger, has often said that every time you open your mouth to describe these things, you have to lie, because there's no way the human tongue can give utterance to these things. And yet those of us who are called forward to be teachers and messengers and way showers, we have to speak. That is our duty, our divine given dharma. We must fulfill it. And Sai Baba said that when you have genuine spiritual experience, it is your duty to share that with others. When you've experienced God, when you've had anything that bespeaks of truth and reality, it is your duty to share it. You will only be authentic when you share from your direct spiritual revelation and awareness. You can't teach out of a book. You have to teach from the living word of God that you are, as one that has been given life through that primordial word. That is the divine bread of heaven. That is the divine living water. That is the living word. That scripture is even the best of them. Can only densify and codify into circumscribed pages in a book. and written words on a page, which are actually twice removed from truth. Truth must be entered into, and you must become immersed in it, baptized in the whole spirit of truth. That is what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. Where is the spirit of the living God? It lives within you. It is breathed within you as the prana, the chi, the very life force itself that breathes you and beats your heart and covers you with protective grace as you sleep, physically or in the dream of death. It is that which ushers you into the dream of birth and receives you from the dream of death and awakens you beyond both birth and death into eternal life. And that, beloved, is your destiny. You are divine awareness, eternal life, eternal bliss, eternal joy, and eternal creativity. No, don't think you'll ever rest in peace, beloveds. It is ever creative, the consciousness that you are. And as you awaken more fully to that, you will thrill with true life. I hope this has been a blessing to you tonight. I wish you a most blessed, happy Thanksgiving. And we send our love to Sai Baba, for this commemorates the day of his advent physically into the physical world. And let's go out chanting, Anai Hu. Take a deep breath. And God willing, I will be with you next week. You have been listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. And the name of this body-mind instrument has been called Commander Lady Athena. But like you, I am beyond name and form and definition. I simply am that I am eternal love. God evening. God bless you. Adonai.